Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't have your Bibles with you, grab one out of the pew or whip it up on your smartphone. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. It's one of his trouble churches that he had several issues with. And this was the second recorded letter in the New Testament to him. And this message today is going to be for anybody that's experiencing a little bit of stress or a considerable amount of uncertainty in your life. We have some kids that are going to start their senior year of high school this week. We have some kids that are going to be starting their freshman year of college. That's exciting. A little bit of stress being right there. We have those that have got parents with medical issues. That's some stress. We have people here that have children with medical issues. That's some stress. We have stress all around us. And I hope that today's message will be a blessing to you. And if you don't have any stress in your life, you don't anticipate any stress, you can go ahead and leave right now because this message is not for you. But the Apostle Paul had some words to say about stress, and I hope this is going to be a blessing to you. Sometimes it's difficult to pick out what you're going to preach because all the Bible's good. It's like going to the buffet at Golden Corral. Well, not Golden Corral, but, you know, a good buffet. And figuring out what you're going to partake on. And today we're going to focus on a section of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. And we'll skip on down to verse 18 in a little bit. Verse 5 starts, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Man, I got to pause right here. This is not going to be my message, but man, we just said a really doctrinal point right there. That God commands the light to shine out of the darkness. That God commanded the light to shine out of your heart because your heart, don't miss this, was dark without God. That's sovereign grace. It's not a decision, people. It was all God. It wasn't your cooperation. It wasn't the Lord handing you the baton and saying, it's up to you. You were spiritually dead, and your heart was dark until God spoke. Said, let there be life in this guy. Let the light shine out of the darkness. Let's pick back up. Verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the spirit that God has given us. We got this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us in a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are intemporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're going to get a different picture of the Apostle Paul than we have the last 2 weeks that I preached. Because last week we left the Apostle Paul on Malta. And on Malta, where he got shipwrecked and he got bitten by a snake and he did the Taylor Swift and just shook it off. He just shook it off. But this week, we're going to get a different picture because when Luke was writing in the book of Acts about that shipwreck and the Isle of Malta, he described what the Apostle Paul did. But in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul isn't going to tell you what he did. He's going to tell you about how he felt. And the two are really different, but they're really different sometimes because sometimes people can make something look so easy that you're just kind of blown away by it. And so you think, well, man, you just assume it's easy. They make it look effortless. Maria makes parenting look somewhat effortless. And then I'm like, yeah, I could do that. And she leaves for 35 minutes. And by the time she gets home, I'm a quivering pile of mess. And I need her. She makes it look effortless. My dad taught me some good life management principles. He taught me how to handle pressure. Mom did not teach me this. One time when Tim and I were young, maybe 7 years old, we lived next to a house that had a horse, and we got into the horse area, and the horse came running at us, and we got terrified, and Tim actually ran into a barbed wire fence, and it cut his lip open, and he's just gushing blood. So we go home, and Mom sees Tim, and he looks like a disaster, and she starts mopping the floor. True story. Mom did not handle pressure well back then, although she's gotten a lot better about it. But Dad taught me how to handle pressure because Dad was a good counterbalance. Dad was always calm, even when the worst thing happened. So I learned pressure management from my father, but I also learned something else from Dad, too, and that was the importance of play. Because when Dad would get home, he'd go outside with me and he'd throw the football, and we played for a little bit. And I learned the importance that play has in people's lives, and sometimes we need to learn to play a little bit. When my kids were growing up, and they were very young, and they were 1 or 2 years old, sometimes play was really simple. It would be sitting on the ground and just rolling them the tennis ball, and they'd clap, and they'd try and roll it back. And when they got a little bit older, I'd actually toss them the tennis ball, and they would catch it. And then with the boys, it would graduate, not the girls, but with the boys, it graduated into professional wrestling, and that was cool. Because we got to put the Korean power grip on them and put the grip on them and bring some little pressure. Well, I remember when Josh was younger, he would look and he'd go, whoa, 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 whoa. How hard? Wouldn't it be nice if we could ask God, how hard is the pressure going to be in this situation? How hard is the pressure going to be in this marriage? Because truth be told, we all want the privilege, but we don't necessarily want the pressure that life brings to us sometimes. We want the iPhone 7, but we don't want the $700 bill. You get what I'm saying? We want the children, but we don't want the diapers and the screaming. Sometimes we want the privilege, but we definitely don't want the pressure. And what we see with Paul in 2 Corinthians is we're getting a picture of a minister who is kind of at a point where he's saying, man, I've got a lot of pressure. I am distressed on every side. And that word distressed is also translated pressure. I'm distressed on every side. And he says, we're troubled on every side. But I want you to read that verse again because I think it's something that describes maybe not Paul's level, but it'll also help us on our level too, because I doubt many of us have had the pressure that the Apostle Paul has. But one of the things that the Apostle Paul is saying is we are troubled on every side. I want you to get this, is there are different levels of pressure. Yeah. Hey, Dad, how hard are you going to bring it? Hey, Lord, how much pressure are we going to have? And the Apostle Paul says, we have troubles on every side, not just one side, because I think most of us can handle the pressure if we can get our focus together and it's coming at us in a singular thing and we're saying, okay, I can handle it because there's different levels of pressure. But when we got pressure on every side, that's a different level of pressure. You know, we kind of joke about the teenager who, and please, this is a life principle. If you have a teenager who has broken up with a girl, there is a level of pressure when you are 16 years old that when you break up with a girl, you think that is it. And yet those of us who are older have graduated from that level of pressure, and we know that there's going to be other people that come into this young man's life. So we've graduated, Yana, and sometimes we lose our compassion to be able to identify with that 16-year-old as if we didn't grow up and listen to Milli Vanilli's, you know, blame it on the rain 17 times. I mean, that's just us. Oh, we've graduated. But if we could just have a little bit of compassion and go, yeah, you can feel like your life has come to an end. Yeah, you do feel like you want to die at that level of pressure. So there are gradations of pressure, and sometimes it seems like it's coming at us from every side. And last week we were talking about the Apostle Paul being on this island called Malta, and there he is. He's a prisoner who happens to make it off the ship, and then he gets up, and he's on the ship. He gets up, he gives a motivational speech. He gives the other prisoners courage and faith in God no matter what circumstances. The Apostle Paul prays. He has a vision. He relates the vision to the people to inspire their faith and give them courage. And Paul did that. And then all of a sudden, the islanders welcome him. And then there's this bonfire. And then this snake just bites down and he just kind of shakes it off and he keeps unplugging. He didn't cry out to God. He didn't cry at all. He didn't plead the blood of the Lamb. He just shook it off. I mean, this dude is a paragon of virtue. He is painted by the Apostle Luke. Man, this is the way faith looks like. But the Apostle Paul literally is saying, hey, hold on, wait a minute. That might have been what it looked like on the inside. Let me tell you what it's like on the inside. That might have looked like what it was on the outside, but let me tell you what it's like on the inside when I'm having troubles with faith. It's not near as easy as it looks like on the outside, because what's going on the inside, sometimes it feels like you're dying. And I got to just pause real quick and say, I am thankful for people who make it look easy on the outside, who when troubles come, they don't go all drama queen on me, that they can remain calm when the circumstances are all helter-skelter. I appreciate people like that. I do. Because I also know that on the inside, people are getting eaten up. And when my insides are getting eaten up, that extra drama that people bring, I don't need that. It doesn't help out. That's pressure on even another side that I shouldn't have to handle. So sometimes when struggles come, sometimes we just kind of need to lock it down a little bit. But let's get back to the message. The Apostle Paul makes it look so easy sometimes, but on the inside, he wants us to know. You know, I might have walked tall, I might have walked proud, I might have walked strong, but on the inside, the Apostle Paul says there's pressure. He's saying, I can't find relief on the right side. I can't find relief on the left side. I can't find relief on the outside. I can't find relief on the inside. There's pressure. I'm distressed on every side, troubled on every side. And the Apostle Paul right here is kind of describing an inescapable pressure. That kind of pressure where you're looking around for a way of escape. And you're unable to find it. Looking for comfort, but none is offered. Looking for peace, but you don't find any. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul is not describing. The Apostle Paul is not describing, I just got a few more bills to pay. I just had a bad day. I haven't had my first cup of coffee yet. My car is in the shop. No, that's not what the Apostle Paul, he's not saying, I haven't had this, or I haven't had that, or I haven't had this, or I haven't had that. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He's saying, I do have a few more bills to pay, and I've had a bad day, and I haven't had my first cup of coffee, and my car is in the shop, and my kid is smoking meth. That's the kind of pressure that the Apostle Paul's talking about right now. But he says, look, man, I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. He says, we are troubled on every side. Yet not destroyed. You know the thing, people say this, that pressure will make a diamond. But you know what? Pressure also makes poor decisions. Pressure also makes divorces. Pressure also will have you stuck with a timeshare or a car bill that you can't afford. That's what pressure will do. And so Apostle Paul, pressure... It's not the pressure, because the Apostle Paul, I mean, he's writing this, and it's a kind of a soliloquy of victory. And he says, you know, there is pressure, but it's not the pressure that's important. It's how you process the pressure that's important. We have to learn how to deal with pressure. And I really don't think that God wants to prevent pressure in our life. Matter of fact, I know he doesn't. And here's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 10. He says, always bearing about, because he's trying to give us a way on how to process the pressure. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, not despair. We're persecuted, not forsaken. We're cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the life of Jesus also might be made manifest in our body. It might feel like we're dying on the inside, but if we could bear in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, and that does make a difference, that will give you a new outlook on what you can survive and what you can endure. That if the Lord has died for me and I am now one of his, that there is nothing on this earth that can rob me of the heaven that God has promised me, that it's not based on my goodness, but it's based on his goodness alone. It wasn't based on my decision. It was based on his decision alone. It's all in the hands of a powerful God who is good. He's really good. If I can bear that back, then I can know that no matter what I face on this earth, it cannot overcome me. And yeah, I can be distressed on every side, but not destroyed. And now, I know a lot of people use this kind of, you know, as a motivational verse. We even sing the hymn, "Cast down but not destroyed." But here's the thing about this motivational verse. I'm troubled on every side. I'm pressured on every side, but not destroyed. I'm pressured, but I'm not crushed. Here's the thing. That also tells us that the pressure can kill you. The pressure can destroy you. The pressure can bring on mental illness. That's what this verse also says, if we don't read it too fast, if we take our time with it. Because if you ever go to a recycling plant, one of the things about the recycling plant is kind of cool is they take these aluminum cans, they take them up, and all of a sudden they press them down in this little bit of cube. And I've seen a lot of pressure take people and just kind of press them and crush them and melt them, away, so that their life is just, it's turning out to be a disaster. So before you stop and thank God, I'm pressured but not destroyed, realize if you don't know what to do with the pressure, it can destroy you. If you don't know what to do with the snake, the poison will kill you. I'm troubled on every side, but not distressed. I'm perplexed. This is kind of that inward pressure. I'm perplexed, but not in despair. I am persecuted. Now, that's pressure not from the inside, but that's pressure from the outside. That's pressure from other people. I am persecuted, but not forsaken. I am cast down, but not destroyed. And this is the contrast of what is being pushing on Paul versus what is pushing out of Paul. Y'all get me? So you got pressure on the outside, but you got some pressure coming on the inside too. And here's the thing. Your pressure, the pressure point that you're feeling right now, the trouble that you're experiencing right now, that is very well pointing you to something. And so many times, I have faced pressure in my life because I am so full of pride. Not just confidence. There's a big dose of pride in my body. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 7. He says, thank you, Paul. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. I mean, think of a clay pot. Of all the things that the Apostle Paul could have likened us to, man, why didn't you pick gold or, platinum, Paul? Because he's saying an earthen vessel. It's just a regular, ordinary vessel. It's no big deal. It's made of clay. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So, John, next time that you get so full of your, I'm chief assistant, blah, 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 remember, you're nothing but a clay pot, easily broken. He says, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. So this vessel right here, your vessel, my vessel, all our vessels, those are very ordinary vessels with an extraordinary power inside of it. And so I am an ordinary person with extraordinary power, but sometimes I get confused and I forget that I'm just the pot and I'm not the power. And sometimes I get so burdened because I put the weight of the world on my shoulders and I carry a cross that I am not strong enough to carry and I was never meant to carry. And it was already carried for me. And so I'm under pressure sometimes because I'm full of pride. And sometimes, not all the times, pressure will come into your life, not because of what you're handling. Pressure will come into your life because how you're handling it. You see, because you're getting confused. You're the pot, you're not the power, and you think you're the power, but you're nothing but a pot. Are you following me here? Maybe I'm getting a like on Facebook, or an amen, or a little heart. I'll go back. Pressure. I feel the pressure. Okay, so sometimes it's just like that. And sometimes pressure will come into our lives, and it might point to pride, but because you're under pressure, some of us begin to perform to a particular standard. This is a different kind of pressure. We got the internal pressure of pride, but sometimes we get pressure because we're trying to perform to a particular standard of what we have projected that of what other people are expecting of us. I remember not too long ago I was speaking at a fairly large conference. There was like 1,500 people there. And right before I was about to go on stage, I was just getting so tense. And I'm just like, why am I feeling so tense? And it's because I was projecting expectations on the audience that they may or may not have. Here's a life principle number two from today's message. Stop putting thought bubbles above other people's heads. Fair enough? Stop putting thought bubbles on other people. Sometimes the miscommunication that Maria and I will have in our marriage is because she's trying to anticipate what I'm thinking or what I'm saying. And here's the thing, and this is the truth of the matter. I think differently than my wife. Men, amen, right? Hey, and look, this isn't me just yammering up here for you important people. The male and the female brain are different. Yeah, we all got the cerebral cortex joining the two spheres, but the female brain has thousands of other connectors in the head. And so information in a female brain can go. And in the male brain that doesn't have those connectors, it's more like. So when I arrive at a conclusion, I can tell you how I got there. We'll go to an office gathering, Maria will look at a lady, and she'll go, I don't like that girl. Why? Because my brain's dork to dork to dork to dork to dork. Now, come to find out, 3 days later, she can express it. And she's always right. I'm just dork to dork to dork. We think differently. Don't put thought bubbles over other people's heads. And that's one of those kinds of pressures where you feel like you have expectations that you have to meet. And that's a killer pressure. You know, here's the thing. I wish I had a visual up here. If I take a sponge and it had been sitting in water, and I pulled that sponge and I squeezed that sponge, what would come out? Right, this isn't rocket science, people. I mean, it's water. Come on. I mean, water, yeah, yay, y'all got A pluses. All right. Or if I had put it in vinegar and I squeezed it, vinegar would come out. So if I have a sponge and I put pressure on it, what comes out is what got sucked up into it. Let me ask you something. What are you soaking up? The Word of God? Are you soaking up what God says about you? That you are redeemed, you are born again, you are beloved, that nothing can separate you from God? Do you soak up that kind of stuff? Are you looking over the magazines that tell you can be skinnier, sexier, have it all? I mean, what are you soaking up right now? Because I'm telling you that when the pressure comes, what comes out is going to be what has been soaked up into you. And so there's also that other kind of pressure. So we got the pressure of expectations. We got the pressure of other people. But there's also this pressure gap. But you all remember a month or two ago, I preached about the three crosses. And kind of we also took out a point that, you know, there is a cross of how far I've come from where I was. I mean, God has brought me so far. And I need to be very thankful for how God has matured my life and my walk with Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that. I'm not the person I was 20 years ago or 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. I've come a long way. But there's also that place where I want to go. And I want to be grateful, but I can't stand here too long and stagnate or I die. I want to keep on becoming the man that God has called me to be. And that's a long way away. And that gap is kind of like a pressure gap for me right here. Because of where I want to be and where I think I need to be. When you think you need to be doing something that you're not doing, or the gap between what I need to be and who I really believe I am, there's a gap right there. Or when you have secretly think and project expectations on other people that they don't necessarily have. And so all of a sudden what happens when I'm feeling this pressure right here about where I need to go and what people are expecting of me and what I expect of myself because of the man of God that I want to be, I mean, that kind of internal pressure. And what happens is when I start to feel that pressure, all of a sudden it starts to build up inside of me. It gets combustible. And all of a sudden it's just like I'll explode and I'll go like, what do you expect from me? And they're like, well, nothing, man. I was just asking where we're going to go to dinner. And so we have those expectations. And I see Paul in 2 Corinthians. He's defending himself from these Judaizers who are questioning the credentials of his ministry, and they're pointing their finger in his face, and they're saying, "Who do you think you are preaching that circumcision doesn't avail anything, or preaching this whole new creation in Christ thing?" They're questioning his credentials, and what happens is he gets his fingers back in their face, and he points out at him. I mean, he fights back in the second Corinthian letter defending his apostolic ministry. He doesn't back down. He fights back. And he's saying, look, man, because here's what will happen. Satan can get into your head and tell you, you are smaller than you are. You're not enough. You're never going to be. You're never going to work. Your mama wasn't. Your daddy wasn't. You're from the wrong side of the train tracks. You'll never be. And the Apostle Paul is pointing right back at him, and he says, I have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that's how you turn pressure into power. Man, I'm not meant to handle this kind of pressure. I'm not meant to handle this kind of struggle. I'm not meant to handle these difficulties and these medical diagnoses. I'm not meant to handle it. I am a clay pot. But the power, that's from God. And that's going to flow through me. That's how I'm going to say, you may tell me I'm not enough, and you're right, because I'm nothing but a clay pot. But the power you're facing is not from me, it's from God. That's what he's doing. And so he says, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are hard pressed, but not crushed. And maybe the Apostle Paul had in mind the Garden of Gethsemane, when the living, eternal Word of God got on his knees, and it says in Luke chapter 22, it says that he sweated. He was in such agony that he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. And so he's on his knees praying, and all this stuff is just pouring out of him because he is agonizing so much. But it's kind of interesting, because he was able to say at the end of that prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And what you might not know, and some of you do, but what you might not know is that Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed this prayer, that literally means the olive press. And so where Jesus experienced his greatest pressure is where he released his greatest power. Not my will, but your will be done. And so when he turned it into pointing to the power, he was able to go to the cross. And with that, he was able to purchase the salvation of his family, that the Bible says outnumbers the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. It says that the number of his family are so vast that no man can number it. It says that the number of his family come from every nation, kindred, tongue, tribe, creed. That's exciting. And so I have an announcement today. The Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And you don't even know what you have until you're under pressure, because pressure will point. Pressure will come on up to you, and pressure will say, hey, man, do you really trust God? I mean, I know you're going to church, and I know you look good, But do you really trust him? Do you really believe what you say amen to him? I mean, the devil came up to God and said, hey, this whole Job dude, give me a few minutes in the octagon with him. All right, we'll put some pressure and find out. And you read the book of Job for 42 chapters, and you find out that Job was a righteous man. But Job was a little bit self-righteous when you start to read it and some of his responses to God. And so the pressure kind of pushed Job out. He had an amazing faith, but it was mixed in with a good dose of some self-righteousness. Pressure will reveal what's inside of you. Pressure also points you where you need to go and what you need to clean out. And so the intent of the pressure is for us to realize with clarity that we are not meant to bear the pressure, but to show where the power comes from. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18, the last three verses there, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not to the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal." So when it comes at you in the form of an external pressure, what comes at you is not greater than what is inside of you. And so when the next time the pressure comes, you can point back and fight pressure with pressure. And Paul calls this pressure that's coming into him, it says we're troubled on every side. He's saying, man, this pressure is light. It's no big deal. And pressure kind of proves, if you really believe the promise of God, the reason the Apostle Paul could say that. All this stuff that's coming at me all at once, it's no big deal. Because I got something inside of me that's far more greater than what's pressing in on me. And so the Apostle Paul says the pressure from verse 7, he says, it comes so that we can see the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. So if I can only be proven after the pressure is supplied, then the pressure will show me that it's not about me. And so here's what they say. You know how they say God will never put on you more than you can bear? That's kind of a watered down the message version of that passage over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it's where it says, "There hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So this idea that God will not put more on you than you bear, that's not biblical. What it says is this: God is not going to tempt you beyond your ability to stand up to the temptation. But God certainly will pressure you more than you can bear sometimes. Because that pressure, the pressure that could break you and point you to your need of Christ, that's the pressure. So you can realize, you know, I cannot stand up to this. I am nothing but a clay pot. Verse 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." He says, therefore, because we know that pressure produces power, we know what's coming at me is not greater than what is in me. We know that we are being renewed day by day, because every day pressure, troubles, trials, teenagers, bills, these are tremendous pressures, and I don't want to minimize this, but what I'm saying is that the certainty of our outcome is what keeps Paul going. And we can only learn from pressure because he says, I have learned because of what I've been through, because I have learned what God has done for me. He says, I have learned that this light affliction is just for a moment. So the pressure that I'm experiencing right now is pointing to a glory that is going to be so much greater. You know, in the 1930s, let me kind of wrap it up for you, because I've talked about pressure coming from the outside, I've talked about internal pressure, but the pressure that the Apostle Paul says is an overcoming, this outward thing that he's talking about, let me put it to you in another way, you might be able to get some amens out of you. In the 1930s, the military learned to pressurize the inside of an airplane. And the reason for that is because human beings are not meant to live at 30,000 feet. And if you flew a plane up at 30,000 feet without a pressurized cabin, the cabin would implode, you would suffocate, everybody would die. And so when you're able to pressurize the cabin, right, the outward pressurization of the cabin, you know, it enables us to sustain ourselves in an environment that we were never supposed to live in to begin with. We are all travelers, sojourners on this earth. This is not our home. Earth is not the final story. Our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. And so that we can live on this sin-stained world, God has put something inside of us. It's a pressure, an outside pressurized. It just presses. It is something that is out inside of us that can help us overcome any pressure the world puts on us. You know, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world puts pressure on you. Medical bills of your parents, diagnosis, you know, it puts pressure on you through divorce, disease, and death. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Right now, so many of you have so much pressure on you. I just want to encourage you. And some of you are going to have some pressure on you. Senior year, freshman year, college. Some of you are going to have so much pressure on you right now. And so much uncertainty. I need to let you know that the faith God has given you is a faith that can carry you through. It can enable you and empower you to stand up to anything that you face. And when the worst absolutely happens to you, it will not overcome you. You can be cast down but not destroyed. You can be knocked down but not thrown for a loop. You can be hurt and still stand up. You might be damaged, you might be dinged, but it will not overcome you. And you can bring the glory of God to a hurting world. And with this, you know, I don't have to collapse because my spirit gets pressurized. Because when I get into the presence of God, I am reminded that these pressures that I'm feeling are just kind of light, momentary afflictions, and not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. And so I can go higher, I can go further, I can go longer, and I can endure. May God bless you.